The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys it." The Gospel of the Lord. We've been looking at this Gospel of Matthew here for the last few weeks. And as I mentioned, there are seven parables in this section in Matthew. And today we have the last portion of these seven parables. So next Sunday we'll move off the parables. We'll move into a different understanding and a different encounter with Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. One or two preamble thoughts I want to offer by way of understanding the homiletics which I wish to deliver. I'm diligent about preparing homiletics for Sunday, and that I take to be a mark of respect for all those people who are gracious and patient enough to listen to my homiletics. The second thing is, my preaching is always confessional. It's not taken from somebody else's book. It comes from the book of my own life. And I'm inclined to look at the parable, what it might have meant in the time of Jesus, and what it means today in my life, believing that what is most personal is in fact most universal, that we all belong to a common humanity. So I want to reflect with you on the core teaching of this gospel reading today, which the man finds a treasure, he buries it in a field, and then he sells everything he has, and he buys the field. And he goes in search, and he finds a pearl of great price, and he sells everything he has, and he buys that pearl. So let me speak a little bit about the field and the treasure and the pearl. By way of introduction, let me go back and, in a very short period of time, take a look at the growing of the gospel. 2,000 years ago, God came among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Something that would change the entire history of mankind. And Jesus preached a radical gospel, which was in opposition to everything that came before him. He enriched and enlightened and refreshed all the teachings that were there in the Hebrew tradition. His reverence for the Hebrew tradition without question, and yet he refreshed this and gave us a new understanding of God's presence among us. It was a radical statement for which he paid a high price. He gave his life for the proclamation of his gospel. And after Jesus goes through the passion, death, and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church, and they're empowered in the Holy Spirit, and they go out to preach the word, and they preach the word, and they're martyred, but they're invincible because the Holy Spirit empowers them. And they're followers of Jesus Christ. And the gospel grows, and the gospel grows. And then something very defining and important happens in the beginning of the fourth century. In the year 313, there was a great battle in Rome, the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. And Constantine wins the battle, and he becomes the emperor. That's very important. He is not a Christian, but his mother, St. Helen, is a Christian. And he makes this big decision in the Edict of Milan, saying there will be no more persecution of Christians. And Christianity will become now the religion of the empire. He doesn't do that for religious reasons. He does that for political expediency, saying Christianity will unite the empire. Actually, he presides over the Council of Nicaea in 325. But now, the Pope is in Rome, the Emperor is in Rome. And the Emperor has a palace, so the Pope gets a palace. In due time, the Emperor has an army, so the Pope will get an army. The Emperor has lands, so the Pope gets lands. And the gospel flourishes, and the gospel begins to spread. And over centuries, the gospel will propagate across the globe, and the structure necessary to carry the proclamation of the gospel, that too will grow. And the structure grows, and the gospel grows, and in due time, something extraordinary happens. The structure becomes more important than the proclamation of the gospel. Defending the structure, enriching it, making the structure grow, becomes the primary interest in the church. And when that happens, we have to stop and take a second look. That's not unusual, by the way. Any organization that grows begins with ideals, and it grows and it grows and it grows, and eventually the organization becomes important, maybe more important than the original mission, which was pure and ideal. Every one of you has some kind of stock. And when you have a shareholders meeting, people don't ask if you're really proclaiming the original mission. They're asking, how is the share growing or diminishing? That happens. So it happened in the church. The church grows and grows and grows. And then the institution, the organization, takes a primacy over the original purity of the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now, 2 centuries or 2,000 years later, Clem Connolly shows up. On June 14th, 1964, I was a class to be ordained priesthood, and we walked solemnly through a packed cathedral. Father Dennis was in that class. And we walked up there with polyphony and with Gregorian chant and a very elaborate liturgy in Latin. And we stood and knelt before the archbishop. And we were ordained, anointed, and ordained priests. And at that time, I made 2 solemn defining promises. The archbishop said, do you promise obedience to your bishop and to his successors? And I said, yes, I do. And the second promise was the promise of celibacy. On that day, I sold everything I had and I bought the field. Now I own part of the field. The treasure is buried in this field. I sold. I left home, came into a new land, and I said, now I sold everything I had, and I bought the field, or part of the field. And I arrived in Los Angeles a few weeks later as a young priest. And in my early years, I've got lots of recognition. I got promotion, I got applause, I got authority way beyond my competence and beyond my maturity. and I got a bigger piece of the field, and life was good. I had job satisfaction, I had recognition, my life was meaningful, I did pray, and I lived in a rectory with five other priests, and it was a happy place, and life was good. By that time, I had traveled half the world, and all was well. But after I was a priest about 10 years, I was 34 years old, I was a young Monsignor, the youngest in the diocese, and I had everything, but there was something missing. There's an emptiness, there's a something superficial. I need to go deeper. There's something missing for my life. So I found a spiritual director, and over a period of time I say, yes, now I know what's missing. I have the field, but I don't have the treasure. The treasure is buried. I have to find the treasure. And my vocation, I was sent to Los Angeles for service in the Church of Los Angeles. And I did that well, serving the church. Now I discover that's not really my vocation. My vocation is not to serve the church. My vocation isn't to the church. My vocation is to follow Jesus Christ. I will live out that vocation in the church. But my vocation is to follow the person of Jesus Christ, to understand, to be attached, to be enriched, to be bonded with Jesus Christ. That's my vocation. That's my mission. When that happens, then I will preach, and then I will serve the church. But that must come first. So I have to find the treasure. So what is the treasure? The treasure is the infinite love of God in Jesus Christ. The treasure is to belong to the sinners, the lepers, the questioning people, the struggling people, the human race, the people who are uncertain. That's the treasure. That's where I will meet Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus Christ, to experience in myself the infinite love of God, the welcoming, forgiving, understanding, embrace of God's infinite love in Jesus Christ, the love which calls me and belongs to me and blesses me when I'm at my best and when I'm at my worst. That's my vocation. I have to find the treasure, the pearl of great price. My vocation changed. It's not to serve the church. It's to belong to Jesus Christ. Now I will understand obedience in a new way. Obedience coming from the classical understanding of audire in Latin means to listen, ob, because. Preposition because. When you act ob audire, because of listening, that's obedient. Listening with reverence, listening with respect, listening with prayer. When you're listening, you're obedient. Surdus is a Latin word. It means deaf. Absurdus gives us an English word, absurd. So now, obedience means something different. There's a very good friend of mine who is on hospice, an extraordinary, wonderful man. And a few weeks ago, we had a gospel reading about the doubting Thomas from chapter 20 in the Gospel of John. You remember the doubting Thomas. And this man who became a Catholic 30 years ago here at Holy Family remembered this for me. He said, when I was in the RCIA, the journeying community, I came to you and I said, Monsignor, I don't think I can believe everything the church is teaching. And you said to me, don't worry about it. Follow Jesus Christ. And he said, I did. He became an inspiring, devout, gifting member of Holy Family. And then he said something to me. He said, you know, I think the church needs Thomas. I said, yes. Yes, the church needs Thomas. The one who questions, who struggles, who doubts, who follows the Lamb, follow Jesus Christ. Celibacy took a different meaning for me too. I have some very close friends that I admire who left the priesthood, decided that somehow this was not wholesome and this was not meaningful, fulfilling for them, and they got married, and they inspire me. Their courage, their decision-making, their sacrifice, their dedication, following Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of this gospel. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, you're wondering, you're questioning, you're struggling, or you're full of the Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ is central in your life. That's the essence of being a living church. It's not how big we are, not how many parishioners we have, not how powerful we are. It's how we are rooted in Jesus Christ. That's the measure of authentic church. So, my friends, come with me into the field. Come with me and find the treasure hidden in the field. Search and find the pearl of great price. Then the church will come alive in Jesus Christ. Infinite love to embrace all people, to welcome all people, to make no judgments about people, to exclude nobody, to find the embrace of Christ is infinite. There is, in the love of Jesus Christ, a place for everyone. Come with me into the field, and with me find the treasure which is hidden, the pearl of great price. Amen.